We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
Acts chapter 24, verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ, and he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season or a convenient time." Now I want you to look at that. He was offered salvation through the Lord Jesus, but his reply was, "Go thy way, for this time I'm not ready right now. When I have a convenient time or season, then I'll call for you." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him, wherefore he sent for him the oftener and commune with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came unto Felix's room. And Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Now I want to preach this morning by the help of the Lord on these few verses of Scripture that we read here in your hearing this morning. If I should take a text this morning, my text would be the power of a few words. The power of a few words. Now, I'm sure that everyone here knows that words possess great power. Wars have been started because of words. We also know that peace has been broken all through the power of words. We know that hopes have been bolstered because of words. We also know that dreams have been shattered because of the power of words. And families have been broken because of the power of words. So words are very powerful, whether we see it or not. Words hold a tremendous power over our daily life. Now, the Bible is very clear, it's very full of statements regarding words and their power. Let me just share a couple of them with you. The Bible says in Proverbs 6, chapter 2, "Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth." Ecclesiastes 5:3, "For a dream cometh through the multitudes of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words." Matthew 12:36, "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." John chapter 12 and verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receive not my words has one that judges him the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So you can see here that words are very important. And our text right here speaks of a man who experienced firsthand the power of a few words. Felix, the Roman governor of Judea, is listening here to Paul the apostle preach concerning the Christian faith. Now, as Paul preaches the gospel, you'll see there in verse 24 that Felix is moved by the words that he hears. And today I want to look here in this scene here in the palace there in Caesarea as Paul preaches here to Felix. And the words that Paul used right here, they were full of meaning then, and they're still full of meaning today just as much as they were then. So just as they heard that message, Felix, 2,000 years ago, they still contain a very powerful powerful message for you and I today. And so let's look here at the power of a few words. And let's think together on this. And it may be that these few words will come with a message to your heart. I hope it does. I hope these few words that were spoken here will have a message for my heart and have a message for your heart today. And so I want to notice here the reason why that these words were so powerful in this man's life. The first thing I want you to see is some of these words confronted him. Some of these words confronted him. The Bible tells us that Paul reasoned, if you'll look there, with Felix and his wife Drusilla. Now, the word reason there means that he discussed or he preached. And so Paul used his time with the governor there to declare unto him the truth of the gospel. Now, in fact, this seems to be the reason. Now, Felix sent for Paul, and evidently that was the reason that he sent for Paul, was that he wanted Paul to share with him the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as Paul preached, two of the areas of his sermon served as a direct confrontation to the life of Felix. Now, Paul preached about righteousness. Now, look at that right there. There's three things there it says that Paul preached about. And the first one was about righteousness. And that word means the state of him who as he ought to be. Now, it refers to the state of being right. And let me say this, it's what God is. God is righteous. But did you know what this morning? Man isn't righteous. God is righteous, but man is not righteous. And literally speaking of a state of moral and spiritual purity. Now, I think Paul preached about the righteousness of God. Ezra 9:15 said, O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous. Psalms 56 says, and the heavens and the earth shall declare his righteousness. For God is judged himself, Selah. 1 John 1:5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And I want you to know, and I want you to understand something this morning. Friends, God is not the man upstairs. That phrase bothers me to no end. When I hear somebody say that, I want you to know that God is not the man upstairs. God is holy. God is almighty. God is pure. And God is righteous. And God is altogether lovely. And so we want you to see right here that he is so holy and righteous that he cannot even look upon sin. And man who is altogether sinful. There's nothing good about us. The Apostle Paul said, in the flesh there is no good thing. There's nothing in us that is good enough to enter into heaven. And so here, man who is altogether sinful, he cannot even enter into the presence of God in his own goodness or upon his own mirth. There's nothing good enough about me, or nothing that I could done myself that would allow me to enter into the presence of God. There's nothing. And so what I'm saying is God is righteous. And oh, if the church in the world, if we could ever see that truth today, what a difference that would make. If we as a church could understand how righteous and how holy that our God is. And so the bottom line is God is holy. Man is unholy. God is pure. Man is unpure. God is holy. Man is unholy. And so we want you to see God is sinless. Man is sinful. I want you to know here that God is righteous. Man is unrighteous. And I think Paul right here pointed out the truth that man is a sinner. And he stands condemned in the eyes of a righteous God.
That's right. Amen.
We as man, no matter who, he stands condemned. And that's what Paul is preaching here to Felix. And so here, because perhaps Paul tells Felix about the righteousness of man. If you look over in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, the Bible says that the righteousness of man is as filthy rags in the eyes of God. And so perhaps Felix is brought face to face with the fact that he's a lost sinner in need of a Savior. That's what every one of us was. That's what everybody is. And until you come to that place that you realize that you're a lost sinner in need of a Savior, you'll never be saved. And so here Paul came here and he realized that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And perhaps Felix is brought here to this place. He is made painfully aware that no man has the righteousness that's needed to stand before the presence of a holy and a righteous God. No man. Don't care who he is. He does not have the righteousness to stand before a holy and righteous God. You say, well, what's our hope then, preacher? What's the answer then? How can we do this? I think Paul told him, and I'm sure that he did, that he could try to go to heaven in one of two ways. And that's the way most people are trying to do today. Go to heaven in one of two ways. He says you can try to go through your own righteousness, or you can go through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get there through your own righteousness, but you can get there through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul no doubt told Felix that God's righteousness, or God's requirement for entering heaven, was perfect righteousness. That's what he told him. And boy, I can almost imagine that Felix, as anybody, would understand, I can't get there in my own righteousness because I am not perfect righteous. Paul says that God's requirement is for you to go to heaven, you must have perfect righteousness. You say, wait a minute, preacher, I don't know about this. Well, you just stay with me there. And I believe you'll see God will show us what he's saying. Matthew 5:20, Jesus saying, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, those Pharisees were very righteous people, but self-righteous. They kept all the laws and all those things, and they were very righteous. But Jesus says, you're going to have a righteousness that exceeds that in order for you to enter in to the kingdom of heaven. And so I know that Paul here told the truth that a lost sinner couldn't be made righteous through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now maybe Paul said what Romans 10:4 said, Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believeth. Maybe Paul told Felix how that God could bridge the gap between his holiness and man's sinfulness through the person of his Son, Jesus, on the cross. Now that's what Jesus did. Here you have man, an unrighteous man. Here you have a sinful man. Here you have a man in need of a Savior. And up here is a holy God, a righteous God, a pure God. And there's a gap and they're separated. And sinful man can't get to God. So what did Jesus do? The Bible says that when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, that he bridged the gap between a righteous God and an unrighteous man. And so with one hand he reached up to the righteous God, and with the other hand he reached down to an unrighteous sinner, and he bridged that gap, and that sinful man was able to come to a righteous God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, because I said it takes perfect righteousness.
And the Bible says that when we get saved, believe on Jesus Christ that died on the cross of Calvary, that when we come to an altar, that we receive imputed righteousness. What does that word imputed mean? That means the righteousness of another that is given to you. When you come to an altar in your sinful condition and say, God, forgive me, a sinner, Jesus takes your old sinfulness and wickedness and all those kind of things and casts them into the depths of the sea. He never remembers against you again. And he clothes you in the righteousness of his son Jesus. So therefore you have perfect righteousness because you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And therefore you can enter in to the kingdom of God. Ain't that wonderful?
Amen.
So what I'm saying is, don't you ever think you get there yourself. You can never get there yourself.
That's right.
You can never be good enough. You can never be pure enough. You can never be holy enough. And high in the world that people's got people believing that you can get to heaven some other way except through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul built this case that only the righteous would ever see God. And the only way to become righteous was through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name given under heaven whereby that men must be saved. And how these words must have touched the heart of Felix, because he was anything but righteous. In fact, he was noted in his day for excessively sinful parties, living, and all the sinful living. And boy, saying that he was very sinful living in Rome, that's something to say, as wicked as that country was. In other words, that's what we say today is, you know, we think about America. Sin brought Rome down, and sin will bring America down. And so here, he engaged in drunken parties, sexual parties, and all those kind of things. He retained his power through brutality and through murder. He was a very wicked man. And so he, no doubt, when Paul told him that your righteousness, you had to be righteous in order to see God, can't get there. And so we're told that Paul not only preached on the righteousness of God, but if you look there at that other word, said Paul preached on temperance. And that word refers to self-control. When Paul preached about righteousness, he was dealing with the character. He was talking about who they were before God. And then he comes along here and he speaks about temperance. And when he speaks about temperance, he's talking about conduct. And when he's talking about conduct, that is talking about how that Christians live before men. And when Paul began to speak on self-control, boy, he hits the couple squarely in the face. When he talks about temperance, when he talks about self-control. And so here, just as Felix was lacking in righteousness, he was lacking in self-control. The name Felix means happy. And boy, Felix was anything but happy. He had been married multiple times. Now let me say this right here. Let me stop right here and say this. He, and you understand what I'm saying. Man cannot be happy or have joy. Yeah, you can be happy because an unsaved man can be happy because you can find happiness in material things and physical things and those kind of things. But the thing about happiness is it depends on happenings. It depends on whether things are going right and right. But you can't have joy unless you have Jesus. Joy, you can have joy if your world's falling apart. Right. You can have joy if no matter if you're sick and the bills are not being paid, whatever, because joy is not dependent upon circumstances. And so that's why that people that are unsaved, they're not happy, they're looking for something, because you've heard me say so many times here on this pulpit,
The way God made you was, He put a void in your soul. And the only thing that will fill that void is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. That's why people are out here on drugs. That's why people are alcoholics. That's why people are sexually involved and all those kind of things. That's why people are married multiple times at times. That's why people want to move out of the little house into the big house. A bigger house. That's why they want to get a newer car than what they got. They think that something out there will find happiness, and they get all those things, and they're just as unhappy as they ever was. Right. Because you'll never be happy until you have that void in your life filled with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why God made you.
Man.
And there's no getting around that. I'm not saying you can't be happy. You can be happy. But you can't have joy. Now you listen to what this preacher's saying. He had been married multiple times. He had all these wild parties. He had always done these wicked things. And so when Felix saw, and we see here, been married, I said, and he was married here, and I think history tells us that Drusilla was his third wife. And she was the youngest daughter of King Herod Agrippa. And according to history, now you think about this. According to history, she was a very beautiful Jewish woman. And when Felix saw her, he wanted her, and she was married to another man. So what did he do? He hired a sorcerer to entice her to leave her husband and marry him. And that's exactly what she did. And together they lived a life of open sin and terrible wickedness. And Paul's word must have stung them very deeply. He may have even called out their sins by name. Because it was very obvious. Everybody knew how they were living and what they were doing. I think maybe we'd do better today in the church if we just call sin out by name. And call it sin. And Paul addressed Felix, and he was speaking to a man who had lost his dignity. He was speaking to a man who'd lost his morality. He was speaking here to a man that had lost his decency. And when he addressed Drusilla, he was speaking to a woman who had lost her decency, a woman who had lost her modesty, a woman who had lost her purity. And so as he was speaking to a couple who were morally bankrupt. And they were thoroughly evil. But listen, one of the tragedies of these modern days in which that we live is that very few people are confronted by the Word of God concerning their lifestyle. That's what's wrong. When they hear the Word of God and are confronted with the Word of God. Now what are you saying? I'm saying here, I want you to know, and I want you to understand, if I know anything about God, and I think I know a little bit, I'd like to know more. But I know that God is not pleased with the way things are going in this world. God is not pleased with the way that mankind is living. He is angered by the sin that abounds on every hand. And so society has tried to sanitize, trying to sanitize sin to make them feel better about what they're doing. What they're saying today, in other words, rather than call it lying has become a credibility gap. Adultery has become a fire. Stealing has become embezzlement. Drunkenness has become a disease. Sodomy has become an alternate lifestyle. The murderous practice of abortion has become a woman has a right to choose. I saw somebody said the other day,
The only people that are for abortion is the ones that have already been born. And so, here, fornication has become flirtation. But God still has one word for all these things that I mentioned. And that one word sums it all up. And God Almighty says all these things that I mentioned is still sin.
Amen.
It's still sin.
Yes.
We can try to dress it up and put better names on it so we won't feel as bad about it, but it's still sin.
Amen.
It's sin. Let's not try to pretty it up. Sin is sin. And one day, all that sin is going to catch up with the sinner. But if ye will not do this, he says, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. And be sure your sins will find you out. You can try to hide your sins and you may get away with it for some time and think you're getting away with it. But I promise you upon the authority of the Word of God that one day your sins will find you out. You may get away. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Maybe Paul told them that one day there's a price to pay for their sinful lives. And they were living at any rate, that is what I'm telling you this morning. There's a price to pay. Payday's coming. You may think you're getting away with it now. You think you have it hid from everybody. Nobody knows, but one day payday will come. And I'm sure that Paul took the time to tell him, you know, you paint a picture and you put a man lost, you get a man in a sinful condition, lost before God, unable to save himself, and in that condition you're going to die lost and end up in the devil's hell. Boy, that's a pretty bleak picture to paint. But I think Paul showed him the light at the end of the tunnel. And Paul says here, tells him that God made a way to save them from their sins. Aren't you glad of that this morning? That God made a way to save mankind from their sins. I'm sure that he pointed them to Calvary and told them a Savior who died to take away the sins of the world. As Jesus was coming up while John the Baptist was preaching, John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And so I'm sure he told him about that. And I want you to see this. You may be here and you may have lived a life of sinful indulgence up to this point. But can I tell you a good news this morning? God can change you. God can make a new creature out of you. He can make a new person out of you. Many people flee the Word of God because it's so confrontational. That's why we don't want to hear much preaching anymore. That's why people don't want to hear you call sin, sin anymore. They don't want to be confronted with their lifestyles. They want to be confronted with their sin. However, when the Word of God comes, it brings with it conviction. And conviction is the first step to being saved. You'll never get saved until you get convicted.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at uniontemplefwb.org.